forward to you people.
It is the Starship Bro Con Show with Anna DeLantis right here. 720 WGN.
A lot of extra people on Michigan Avenue today. Have you noticed?
Yes, because the new Apple store is opened across from us, or is about to open across from us.
Yeah.
Our own Violetta Powdermedic was over there climbing the... She got the suction cups and wanted to go up the glass wall.
Yeah, they didn't let me get up too far.
Yeah. She brought her own suction cups with her.
I think that's frowned upon.
I always do.
They say it's the future of retail and that all of the Apple stores around the world are going to take on many of the characteristics of this. So this is now the gem of Apple.
What's different about it?
It's like a town hall. They want it to be like more of a town square. So there's like an area not just about buying products but about education and concerts. And there's a big video screen in the middle and it looks kind of like a town hall setup. And then they've made the Genius Bar sort of relaxed, a little more casual, where you don't...
Instead of the white fluorescent lights everywhere where you're sweating, and you're like, I don't know if I backed up my iCloud. Stop asking me all these questions.
Yeah, it feels like an interrogation room a little bit. This one is, you know, you chill out with your genius, and you just solve your problems on your phone.
What's really fascinating is you can't really see the glass. It's nice. It really is so transparent, obviously.
Well, I don't know. Is that good?
I mean,
generally, when you can't see
birdies.
The glass.
All the little birds are going to hit into it.
Right. You got birds, and then you got, you know, me, you know, too. You know, there's going to be a lot of thunk.
But it's nice how it kind of just all flows right into the river, and it really is seamless.
It's just, it is a pretty piece of architecture to add to our city.
I feel like they could use more Apple logos, though. They only have one Apple pillar.
Don't encourage them. They put an Apple on everything. I think this is kind of nice. I think they're at the point where they're like, if you don't know who we are, we don't care about you. It's that moment.
Probably true. Yeah.
Well, congratulations to them. Congratulations to Chicago. Mm-hmm. A gem on the river has been paid for by those guys in Silicon Valley.
Isn't that awesome?
A lot of people from California were there. They're like, yeah, I brought like my jackets and really intense stuff. And it's pretty warm here. I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
Their fur coats coming from California. That.
Like the Dodgers wives.
Like the Dodger wives. Yeah. Right. I was just thinking of them. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So too bad they couldn't stay the extra night. To see the Apple store open, the Dodgers wives. I went to the Hawks game last night, which, by the way, was an incredible disappointment at the very end.
Oh, no.
With 18 seconds left in overtime. Edmonton is actually kind of shockingly good. That Connor McDavid is really, really, really good. That guy reminds me of a very young and even bigger Jonathan Toews. Mm. You know, like when Jonathan Toews was 20 and made captain of the team.
That's kind
of moved. He's sort of like Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews smushed together.
Ooh.
Yeah. He's reigning
MVP.
Yeah.
For a long time.
He's an amazing, amazing player. So did that dipsy doodle thing a couple times last night.
In and out around two of the best defensemen in hockey and Duncan Keith, Brent Seabrook, just going in and spin around them and put it in the net.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
He's a magician. And so it was a big night there. But, you know, it was funny. I ran into a couple friends of mine last night who were at the Cubs game and then ended up sitting on the glass at the Blackhawks game because what they did. Yes.
How does that work out timing wise?
Yeah. Mike McGrath and Tony Lacursio. There we go.
Good job, Tony and Mike.
Yeah.
Nice work.
They were at the Cubs game, and when they went down 7-0.
In the third.
They left.
They went on Vivid Seats and found glass seats for $100 a piece at the Hawks game and went over. Oh. It just went from one to the next. How crazy is that?
Well, that's
yeah. Everyone had their phones out. They're like, "Did you see the Cubs score at the Hawks game?" We're like, "What?
Yeah.
What's the score?"
That was pretty crazy. Where were you sitting last night?
We're at the Hawks game? In a section.
Oh, interesting.
In the chairs, in the new chairs.
Yeah, the new chairs are very comfortable. That is very true. Huh. Very interesting.
At the Hawks game?
I thought I would have heard Violetta. I was telling a story about Violetta, the guys that I was with, about how the Ice Girls hate her. I was with this guy from Boston, and that's bad. That's never good, right?
Does he have an accent?
Yeah. And he's got the whole, like, Bruins thing.
Is he a Patriots fan and a Tom Brady fan?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's actually from Providence, but he's a total Boston, like New England fan for everything.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. He just, his fandom, though, I can't.
They're the worst.
I can't track. You know, he's wearing a Red Sox hat. He had he's a Pats fan. He's a Bruins fan. I'm like, I don't know. I was like, you know, watch your national anthem, pal. See ya. You know, that's all I can tell you.
Yeah. People kept giving me and my sister dirty looks. We're taking selfies, you know, enjoying our Snapchat. And everyone behind us is trying to photobomb us.
In Boston, it turns out they don't have, like, the ice girls.
What do they have?
They don't. They just have guys coming out shaving the ice. Like,
you know, guys?
Ice guys. Like the other guys that are in the long coats, like the car coats that come out, too.
I watch the ice girls very closely because,
you
studying
stink
them.
I am.
No, I'm studying them so that I can, you know, one day try to be one of them.
Move in on their territory.
But, the one that has the black shovel, the really heavy-duty black shovel, I don't want her job. She's got the hardest job. There's only one of her.
She wrangles the ice, yeah.
Yeah, she has to clean up the nets, too, and she's, like, you know, scrubbing, trying to get all the ice.
Violetta does not believe in that. Violetta does not believe in getting on her hands and knees and, like, doing the scrubbing part. Right? That is not for you.
We got to get you to do that at least for a day. Wouldn't it be fun?
Yes.
We got to figure that out.
Yeah. Well, I could do it. But so the story was, because I always get this, what's that Violetta like? So I was answering, because the other people were from Chicago, and I was answering the question. Well, you know, the ice girls, they hate her. So it was like, I did a whole thing. Got a whole bit going.
You didn't tell them how amazing I am in real life?
No, I said just the ice girls hate you. All right, is the video up for you at the Apple Store? Did that go up yet?
No, not yet.
All right. See, I'm always over-promoting. I will let us know when that goes up.
I will.
Violetta's trip to the Apple Store. Michael Steele joins us, but first, Violetta's got the WGN Driving Trouble Spots.
Play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com and check it out today.
All right, Rokon Show with Anna DeFlantis right here, 720 WGN.
Did you see your friend of the show, Geraldo Rivera, got a shout-out from the president on Twitter a couple hours ago, thanking him for defending him against the accusations that he was inconsiderate to the Gold Star family. Thank you, Geraldo Rivera.
Okay, now this thing has spun out of control because now it's moved into some other issue about whether General Kelly misrepresented something that the congresswoman from Florida had said. And now we have moved Michael Steele, former head of the Republican National Committee, into some other realm here that I do not understand. Shouldn't this have all stopped? No matter who started it, shouldn't it all stop right here, right now, and like yesterday or the day before?
Yeah, it should have stopped when Kelly said what he said yesterday, and actually there was a point where he should have stopped. Before personalizing this even further by calling the congresswoman an empty barrel, which, of course, just took this to a whole nother level. Then, of course, the president goes out and tweets late last night, further exacerbating the questions and the issue. And here we are. These people cannot get out of their own way, largely because they like the space they occupy. They like the disruption. They like the confusion and the conflict. This president feeds off of it. And for him, he may get an attitude about it, but I see him sitting up somewhere in the White House just with that Cheshire cat grin on his face, watching everyone do basically the bidding he wants done on these hot topics.
Right.
Yeah, and then you saw Laura Trump on Fox this morning. It was really something about her baby and touring her baby's new room and that kind of thing. But then she mentioned that there was a trend.
Why did we have to do that?
I don't know, but the only thing that came, the news that was made there is she said, well, he said what he says he said, meaning the president did. I read the transcript. And then you saw Sarah Huckabee Sanders say today in the news briefing, there is no transcript, no tape. It's like, How do you make sense of all this? I don't know what's going on.
The thing is that we are now in, sort of like it's liar's poker, right? It's just over and over and over again. Yeah. People saying things. Now, I think we're General Kelly, and I thought General Kelly was incredibly profound yesterday, and it was a beautiful moment when he talked about what he had been told by Joe Dunphy when General Kelly's son was killed in Afghanistan, and that's a way to tell a family, to help console a family, even though you can't really console them, but to do that when you have to be the when you have to deliver that bad news, as Joe Dunphy was the bereavement officer for General Kelly. Now, what he did though, going further on this issue with the congresswoman and then claiming that the congresswoman had bragged about getting the $20 million funding for the FBI headquarters down in Miramar, Florida, and that this was, and that, she had talked about getting that done, and And that, and it turns out she had never said that in that speech that, that he claims that she said it in.
Right.
That speech has now been made public, and she didn't say it. Mm-hmm. And so then the press is in the press room asking. And again, we're so far away from what's really important here. It's unbelievable. But here's where we are. Here's where we sit. This is the news of the day. The news of the day is that he that Sarah Huckabee Sanders was confronted with General Kelly misrepresenting what the congresswoman said, and then she said it's inappropriate. Do we have that? This is what she said.
He come out here and talk to us about this at some point.
I think
so
he's addressed that pretty thoroughly yesterday.
No, he was wrong yesterday in talking about getting the money. The money was
if you want to go after General Kelly, that's up to you. But I think that that if you want to get into a debate with a 4-star Marine general, I think that that's something highly inappropriate.
Okay. I you know, now we've gotten here, and then now you slip it on the ice.
Yeah, that's just frustrating to hear, and it's such you know, baloney. This sort of diverting. Well, if you want to get into an argument with a 4-star Marine general, yeah, I don't want to get in an argument, but what he said yesterday was factually wrong. Does the White House still stand behind that? Is General Kelly prepared as the chief of staff to clean that up? And the fact that they can't even admit that when all of the evidence is very clear. You have the transcript. We have the tape. We know what the congresswoman said. She did not say what the general said. So why can't they just say, oh, my bad, and move on?
Now, here's what's going to happen. I want to run a scenario past you. Tell me this is going to happen. Someone told him that. He didn't see that script. He didn't see that press conference or anything, or he didn't see the woman make the speech, the congresswoman make the speech. Mm-hmm. So someone in the White House told him that. He's going to have to go back now as chief of staff to that person who told him that and give them the, you can't tell me stuff that isn't true and don't have me go out there stringing myself out speech, right? Which is what happens to everybody who has jobs like that. Mm-hmm. So he's going to go back and do that. And in the meantime, he's going to be frustrated because he's a man of honor. He's a man of integrity. He's a man who is devoted to telling to representing this administration in an honorable way when people, even up to and including the president, aren't doing it that way. And now he's been embarrassed by this. I just don't know how much he can take.
Yeah, I don't know how much you can take either in that regard, but I do know that the first point is right. I mean, he was told that information about the congresswoman. Chief of staff of the White House is not going around pulling those tapes and researching those facts. That's just how that works. But the fact of the matter is somebody misled him and gave him wrong information, and they will be dealt with. The broader picture, though, for me, is just the position that the general's taken on the whole here, where he's trying to give some cover to a president that you can't cover. And I just, you know, I appreciate everything he said, but then when he went off the rails and started going after the congresswoman, that muddled things in a way that made it much more difficult to sort of take the totality of what he said to heart, because here we are 24 hours later, and it's still a mess.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was interesting. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Michael.
No, I was going to say, if it had the impact that you wanted it to have, we would have moved on to something else. But that moment and, of course, the subsequent moments by the president won't allow us to do that.
Yeah. Senator Graham came out to talk about what will be moved on to eventually is what happened in Niger, which we still have very few details about. 4 U.S. soldiers died there. And he said today that we don't want the next 9/11 to come from there, that region, indicating the focus that is really on that area right now. A lot of questions still to be answered.
Right. He even gave Barack Obama credit today for putting more assets in that area, because we have to move to where the fight is, and the fight is moving from there. You know, we could take Raqqa. What we're going to do with Raqqa is unclear, whether we, the United States, even though it was not really U.S. personnel, but it was U.S.-backed personnel who were able to take Raqqa and liberate it from ISIS. But do you hand that back over to the Assad government, to the Russians? Who do you hand it back over to rebuild it and keep it pacified? And then we move on to West Africa to go chase these guys who are moving down there. And that becomes the real, you know, dilemma, I guess, for everybody, you know, fighting this fight. It is a crazy thing. All right, Michael. Wow.
Yep.
Another week.
I know. Another week.
Another week.
Another week, just like the last week.
Yeah. Well, I wonder when there's going to be a moment where people do start to get it starts to tax even his own folks who were like, you know, what I really want here is stuff to get done, and there's a lot of sideshow. So a lot of hat, no cattle.
You're gonna use that?
I don't see that happening anytime soon. Right. I think Donald Trump has thoroughly infected the place, and I don't see how they you know heal from that at this moment.
Okay, Michael Steele, thank you, sir.
Have a good weekend,
thank
Michael.
You, Michael.
You guys have a good one.
Thank you too. Goodbye. I thought George W. Bush was particularly poignant yesterday too.
Really was.
Barack Obama and George W. Bush giving separate speeches that are both sort of like, "Hey, let's get our wits about us, America.
Let's figure it out. Course forward."
Yeah. You got to give them both credit for that. All right. Here is, well, it's Kim Gordon, because Judy Pilak has not had a week off in almost a week. Kim will have the WGN news coming away in 2 minutes.
Oh, Susie Q.
Oh, here she is. Susie Sunshine. We're getting to her a little late, so we're going to move right to the proceedings here. She is Susan Schmidt from Westwood Holdings in Dallas. She is a senior vice president, senior portfolio manager there. Very important person. Billions of dollars rest in her fingertips. I don't know how that works.
She knows what she's talking about.
They explain that's how that works in that business. All right, let us now talk about Dow 23,000. Regardless of any of the political concerns that people have in the United States of America, that the markets continue to be very robust. That's a Wall Street term.
The market, that's exactly right. The phrase irrational exuberance comes back to mind from one of Alan Greenspan's hallmark phrases. And the markets are feeling good. So it's a couple of things going on here. We have some sign of coordination in Washington. So the markets are looking at this budget resolution and Senate managing to pass something, and it looks like maybe they have a chance that the House is going to pass it as well. All of that coordination means they might get to discussions around the taxes. And if we can get tax costs down for these companies, if we can get those tax reductions, that would be great. So the market, I think, looking to that a little bit and getting excited about that. At the same time, we are in earnings season, in earnest. So we have, next week we'll have 1,000 companies, publicly traded companies, reporting. The management teams will be out talking about how the businesses are doing. We had about 800 reports this week. They started last week with the big banks. And earnings reports have been good so far. We've had a few here and there that haven't done as well and have hit the headlines, like GE this morning. But for the most part, earnings have been pretty strong, and managements are talking about a pretty good backdrop. So the market is feeling good about this. Next Friday, we'll get our first look at third quarter GDP. Expect the market to react off of that as well. But right now, earnings are carrying the day and some positive news out of Washington. So we're seeing new highs.
What sectors are driving this? You said that, you know, what's happening in Washington, there's optimism about tax reform and that kind of thing. And I get that part, because they're even saying that late winter is possible for passage of this bill that the Senate just passed, the budget resolution laying that the pathway to the tax reform and cuts. But what are the other drivers in our economy? What's doing really well, Susan?
Well, right now the financials are doing well, and that's because we've had the big banks all report. They're doing much better. They're feeling good about their capital base. Regulators are giving them more leeway in how to run their businesses, so they're able to be, I think, a little more proactive. And also the banks are an indicator of the economy. So we're seeing, I think, some good stability from that. The regionals are showing good loan growth, so that's all very important. Financials today were really what was driving the market. We're also seeing great strength in tech. So the technology sector has been very strong, really, throughout the year, and that just continues. Materials has been strong. Today it was interesting. Bricks and mortar retail actually made a comeback. So you know people are feeling good when they're willing to go back and take a look at the bricks and mortar retail stocks, which have been feared and hated for a large part of this year, as people worried about what Amazon was going to do and how that would impact everything. So we've had, you know, some, I think the wait in the wings still, like, crowd is there in healthcare. They're still waiting to see what happens with that. And, you know, telecom and Staples, which are usually your risk off, safer areas to go to, they're not seeing as much of a bid up because people are feeling good. So they're taking on the riskier names, the more cyclical industrial type company.
Also, the international economy seems to be working pretty well, right? Isn't that, that there's consumption in Europe, there's consumption in Asia, and because of that, the American economy, which then feeds into the into those economies, is doing well.
Well, that's very true. And so, and it's nice because then you have positive news. It's a nice tailwind and a nice backdrop to operate in. When you're the only economy that's working, it can be really hard to have to pull the rest of the world along. But when Europe is starting to look better, we're seeing positive news there. When China is posting good numbers and feeling, you know, we're feeling much better about, you know, the outlook for Chinese growth and their economy going forward. So when you have those things working in a positive direction, it makes it a lot easier for investors to be positive and optimistic about what U.S. companies can do because they look at that and say, well, we've got these international outlets too. Remember, you know, we have different markets to sell into. That's important. And so that's a nice sentiment to have. It makes everything a little bit easier.
All right. Janet Yellen, about to hit the door.
The lady with the pearls.
Yeah.
And I know, bro. What are you going to do if she doesn't get her reappointed? And it's not clear that she really wants to be reappointed. We don't know. We have five contenders. Janet Yellen, yes, Trump met with Janet Yellen. And but he's met with all of these five contenders. One of them is in, you know, in his administration, Gary Cohn. Now, he's the least likely to get it right now.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to go. I don't think Gary Cohn's going to be lucky to have a job after, well, let's call it the first of the year. The holidays. So, please don't say the holidays. Please just say Christmas. Gary, Merry Christmas. But the odds on the money is betting on this Warsh guy, right?
Well, no, it's changed this week. So the market is cool, and we can't make up our mind. And so every day it seems to be a new candidate. But Powell, it looks like Taylor made a good impression on the president last week. And right now the market is switched, and really I think the odds are on Powell at the moment as getting the spot. And so
Kevin Powell?
Kevin Powell is going to be the new chairman of the Federal Reserve.
Pretty excited about it. No big deal.
Covered the Cubs already. You know, they got, you know, what's next?
Got some time on my hands.
Yeah, I'll just ask you a quick question. What does the Fed do, Kevin?
I can't answer that at this particular moment. I'll get back to you after the show. I'm busy doing sports stuff. I'll talk to you guys
later.
That's
confidential.
Yeah, right.
They handle the money.
Yeah, if I told you, I'd have to kill you. I'm the new Fed chair.
Exactly. Sworn to secrecy, all right, guys?
All right.
Very convincing.
So people like people are putting the money on Powell in Vegas.
Powell and Taylor, Warsh is I think, sort of the middle of the pack now, and Yellen and Cohen are maybe on the bottom. You know, Yellen is still a possibility here. She could come back and be a surprise appointment because she does have the voice of experience. She knows what she's doing. And it's a safe bet. People know what they're getting. It'll cause the least amount of anxiety and disruption for the market. However, all of these choices are fairly close together in how they would handle things. There's no one here who's a big outlier or extremist in their approach and how they feel about inflation or interest rates or the economy and what they're trying to do. So for the most part, this isn't going to be none of these choices will represent an extreme change.
So that's good, right? You're early.
I mean, compared to who it could be, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. You never know. It's like who could it be? If you think of the options you mentioned earlier, though, Susan, irrational exuberance. You know, I just wonder about millennials who are trying to get into the market or people who are trying to maybe invest a little extra for retirement. Is this an overvalued market? Is this not a good time to be doubling down and doing that?
Good question.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we do seem to be very excited about how things are going. But, you know, if we looked back a year ago and we're up 25% or more, we would have said, well, are things a little too stretched then? We haven't seen a correction. And remember, the market never goes straight up. There's always bumps along the way. We haven't had a bump in the road in a while. So I wouldn't be surprised if something, you know, rocks the boat a little bit here in the coming months. However, earnings ultimately are going to determine how this plays out. And as long as companies are making good earnings profits, And the management teams are talking about it, saying they think they're optimistic about what they see going forward. This upward trend can continue. That is what is going to, you know, when earnings start to roll over, that's when we're going to see the market start to roll over, not before.
All right, there she is.
Watch those. Okay.
Susie Sunshine, Susie Schmidt. She is a senior vice president, senior portfolio manager of Westwood Holdings in Dallas, Texas. Thank you, Ms. Sunshine. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right. They don't call her that on BBM.
Nope.
Here is Violetta with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. All right, the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. Kim Gordon in for Judy Pilak, who much deserved day off.
Yeah, she hasn't had a day off in a while. Oh, wait, she was in Greece for 10 days last week.
She's Rostron. It's all coming your way. Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
When do we get to hear more about the new Apple store? Violetta just made her way back from there.
Well, she was doing her traffic. What do? You do your weekend traffic, like here's where the jams are going to be, kind
of. Weekend warning, bro.
Weekend warning. I knew that. That's what I knew.
Alliteration is great.
Mm-hmm. That's in media, we love we love anything that's alliterative.
Totally.
It's almost kind of a big hit. You guys should see a couple episodes. It happens every Friday.
I've seen this, actually. I have to admit, I believe I've seen this.
Good.
Wait, look what I just admitted. I believe I've seen it. I have no recollection, Your Honor. Anyway, the point is that you went out in front of the Apple store to do this so people can see you talking. What else is what's happening on the weekend that people have to be worried about?
Well, the Bears are playing.
Okay, what does anybody have to be worried about there?
There's a 5K breast cancer walk going on.
And where's that going to be?
That's going to be downtown.
All right.
And pretty much the Apple store, I mean, right now it's bustling in the area right there. Yeah. A lot of people in line.
Yeah.
People are lining up to see this, huh?
Yeah,
I didn't realize it was this big of a deal.
The first person in line was there since yesterday.
That's just nuts.
That's crazy.
Wow.
But then the rest of the people kind of trickled in at noon, and right now they're extending the line out towards the stage.
What time is it open till?
It starts.
Can
it opens
see it
at
today
5.
It opens at 5?
Yeah.
Isn't that a weird time to open?
It's not even open?
No, it's not open right now.
And then there's going to be a concert.
So the concerts, everything's tomorrow pretty much for the concert.
Who's
and the
playing?
Stage. Mostly they're having speakers, and everyone's pretty
Who's
excited
speaking?
In line because they're excited to see if Tim Cook shows up.
Well he is there, apparently.
He's where?
Seamus Toomey from the Sun, or Seamus Toomey, it used to be the Sun Times.
Right.
He is now the managing editor of DNA Info Chicago.
Yes.
Just tweeted out that Tim Cook in the house getting a full tour of the new Apple store in Chicago. They're saying it is now going to be a template for Apple stores around the world.
Oh.
So do people like get autographs from
Tim Cook?
Yes, they're very excited. The people in line are diehard Apple fans.
Does Tim sign his own headset that he wears on stage? You know, when they go out there with that, like the headset? You know what he should do? He should sign the phone that didn't do the facial recognition when it was supposed to when they introduced the iPhone X.
You know, that person got fired.
The iPhone 10, whatever. And he goes out and he goes, yeah, look, I can just look at it and it starts. Wait, hold on.
Wait a minute. It's not working.
Hold on.
The whole world is watching and it's not working.
I always wonder when they do those big rollouts of products, like if that ever has happened, you know, where like the CEO of a company walks out to show off some cool gadget and it just malfunctions.
Well, that's what happened.
What happened?
What had happened was that.
It did happen to him?
Yes,
it
that's
did.
What happened. The iPhone X, iPhone 10, they couldn't get the facial recognition to work.
Awkward.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's the whole thing. Now you just look at it and it knows that you're an alive, sentient human and... You know, when they do that, it's so creepy. Like, it is very much like, you know, one of those, like, you know, dark looks into the future kind of thing when they have their press conferences.
Yeah, they make you feel like you just don't understand the future yet, but we'll tell you about it. And
right.
Like, okay.
Can the future include a screen that doesn't crack, or that's not an option?
In the future, you will be food.
What?
Food.
Why? Yeah. That's horrible.
Yes, that's what it is. Like on all those movies, like Soylent Green. Turns out we were eating people.
Well,
Soylent Green is people.
I'm scared.
Yeah,
hope
and that's
that.
I kind of that's whenever I watch an apple, press, you know, thing. When Steve Jobs did it, especially, I thought Steve Jobs was going to rip his head back and it'd be a lizard underneath there. You know, it was like, oh my God, it's Mothra. That's not. See, I don't even understand. I mean, I like the Apple products
Me
a
too.
Lot.
Big fan.
They have changed my life. I'm still a PC guy. When mm-hmm. it comes to my home
like
computers
Excel.
And stuff like
I
that.
I love Excel PC. Like, I can't do Excel on a Mac. It's just not the same. The boxes look different.
This is how a huge Apple is. People are lining up outside a store to buy stuff from them.
Well,
like isn't it weird to be standing outside of a store to buy something?
So most of the people that I interviewed actually said that they're not buying anything.
Oh, they just want to see the architecture.
Yeah, and they've been saying that it's more of a gathering place, mm-hmm. a place to learn, a place
Well, that's
to...
what they say, but they're in there selling you
right.
stuff.
Right, sure.
I mean, it's sort of like...
You got a great deal on iPhone today.
It's a gathering place. People should be gathering. There should be gathering. There should be... People should be communing. There should
but
be...
bring your wallet.
Perhaps, maybe...
A sense of community.
There should be a sense of community. Maybe a town hall, even.
There
people can
be.
Have a town hall meeting.
It'll be a forum, an open forum.
And then, like, what. 5 minutes into it, a guy.
Hey,
like,
can I help you?
Some hipster, right? is going to come up to you and go, can I sell you something?
Right.
Hey, you're going to buy something to get out.
I'm just going to go in there and do yoga and see if anyone, you know. I'm like, hey, I thought this was like the town square.
It's a
you
safe
know?
Space.
Safe space.
Safe space,
just
right.
Chill out.
It's a safe space.
If your yoga mat was an Apple product, that would be fine.
I know, right? They'll try to sell me one of those.
Well, you could get the wireless headphones that helps through yoga, so maybe they'll sell you those.
Yeah?
In your downward dog.
There
help
is
out.
A, there is a... Oh, don't talk about her dog. The downward dog just passed away. The
had a good run.
The,
3 years ago.
There was... It is an interesting thing because you do have, when you walk into the Apple store, you're never sure when people come up to you if they're working there or not.
Right? Everyone right? just blends in.
Yeah. You're like, mm-hmm. someone comes, like, I feel like I could walk into the Apple store mm-hmm. and just walk up to people right. and, like, with my iPhone, and I go, oh, let me have your credit card. And I would take a picture of it with my phone and just walk away. Right? It's sort of like,
yeah, I bought an iPhone from this guy. I never got it.
Yeah. I'll get it in just a second because you just don't know. Sometimes they're wearing a thing around their neck, but that does, it looks like a block of wood that they're wearing around their neck.
I thought they all wear T-shirts that are the exact same color, don't right. they?
The people that hang out at Apple stores look like the people that work at Apple stores. They just yeah, all they sort of blend together.
And what the Apple store employee says to you is, cool. That's it. Cool. It's like, can I get those wireless headphones that you've got? Cool.
Cool, man.
And then next thing
you're
you know,
like, is that a yes?
I don't know. What? Okay.
Let me All slide right. out the register from the side of this table.
Yeah. And then, right, exactly. Card. Or just, you know, or they just pull out their phone and they got the little cube on the top of the phone and they slide, you know, they slide it or they're carrying a little iPad with them.
Right. I was there and they're like, do you have the Apple Pay? I'm like, no. I literally thought they were going to kick me out of the store. They're like, why not?
This lady doesn't have Apple Pay. Can you guys believe that?
I was like, and I'm going to pay cash. Do you have any
cash? Oh, gosh. That never happens there. You got to use the square.
You gotta go to the back room.
Attention! Attention! There's a woman trying to pay without Apple Pay! Get her!
So wrong. Just wrong.
That's kind of how it is there.
Please stop the woman who's trying to pay without Apple Pay! She's
she?
Approaching the door!
You whip out cash, they hit like a red alert button.
Guys in matching t-shirts come out of the back right. and escort you out.
We gotta run to the bank. We'll be back. We don't even have cash here.
Deadly force is authorized.
And then she disappears.
Yeah. I stick out like a sore thumb there.
Yeah. Cash.
I'm very frantic, too.
Well,
all
I mean,
calm.
You know, when you're, let me tell you something. When Violetta shows up with a role, she's got like a gangster role.
Oh, gosh.
You're like, what does Violetta do for a living? You
does
know, there's
that,
always that.
That rubber finger thing going on where she's
yeah.
used to this.
I lick my thumb.
Yeah.
Lick your thumb.
So it's like a total cash society with Violetta. Yeah, no.
No one's really sure why, because you get paid.
Restaurant life.
Just like us.
Yeah, that's it.
It is restaurant life. Restaurant yeah. life. Well, then that's a funny thing, too, because like, you go to the Apple store, if you do try to pay with cash, they look at you like, what is that? Right. It's like they've never seen it before.
They gather around.
Yeah, I'm going to pay you in 20s. In what?
Have you guys tried to use the app and it automatically recognizes the credit card that you have on you? It just automatically recognizes, other than the Apple Pay, like anything, it'll just say, you want to pay with this card or this card, and you just press yes. I'm like, how do you know I have that card?
Can you hold it close to someone and it picks up their card?
I'm going to try that.
Hey, here, bro, hold my phone real
quick. Let's all hold it up next to Ro's wallet and see if he can pay for it.
I like that idea.
Kind of pays for it anyway. Yeah,
thank you. Really appreciate that.
Could use a few
we do
bucks.
Too.
I don't understand what I don't. And now are they moving all the hipsters from the other Michigan Avenue store
yes.
to this one?
I think so. Didn't
yes,
somebody
they are.
Go?
They had a forum earlier today.
Oh,
so.
A forum. They had to have a forum. At the town square, did they have a forum?
It's like a flocking of hipsters down Michigan Avenue.
The they used the store before everyone else. So they were, that was their first gathering.
Attention, Apple employees. We are going to have a forum in the town square. Do not accept cash.
If you see Violetta Podramatic, escort her out.
Please look at the picture now on your iPhone. That is of our most wanted suspect.
Cash user.
She once attempted to use cash.
No!
Oh, gosh.
No!
Unbelievable.
I bet they'll have a reward if they sign me up for Apple Pay.
Exactly. Actually, either you sign up for Apple Pay or you disappear. Or you do become the food.
What if you just say, I want to enjoy the town square? Is that going to be an acceptable answer?
Yeah, that's that. I dare you to go in there and go, I am not going to pay for anything in here. All I'm going to do is stand here and enjoy the town square.
I know.
You go tell Tim Cook that when he's standing there. Hey, Mr. Cook, I don't want to buy anything in the store.
I like Androids.
I just would. Exactly.
Android user.
Do you guys have any Microsoft stuff here I could buy? I don't know. I don't know what it is. Did you notice that they have like tree stumps in there too?
Because yeah,
they're trying
trees.
To fake like it's green.
Oh, God.
They have like tree stumps, I think, made out of like, you know, Chinese aluminum. But they're there.
Recycled product made to look like a natural thing.
Yeah. Well, I thought that the tree inside was going to be like, you know, like the tree of life, you know, something huge and, but it's not. It's just, four tree stumps inside. But then they also do have like a patio before you get to the river, so that's going to be a nice hangout area too. And there's no products out there to be sold, so.
Attention! Stop the man in the glass box from talking about Tim Cook!
Boop, boop, boop! They can probably hear you over there.
I know, they probably can. Oh, excuse me. Hold on. There we go.
You know, it's a little crazy that people came from out of town to this. You know,
it's pretty wild.
Oh, yeah.
Just all over the place.
Yeah. Well,
they're here.
We had a woman when Disney bought ABC. We had a woman who came over to our building every day and hugged it because she was like a Disney person. She'd go to the Disney store on Michigan Avenue and then come over to the ABC building and hug the building.
Weird.
People just like it.
All right.
They're furries. All right. Here is Violetta with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
This week, no need to fear. Chicago's Best has great food and great beer. Don't miss an all-new Chicago's Best Brew Pub, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
All right. Speaking of brew.
Yep.
A week from today, we are going to be in Rosemont at the Huffbrow House.
Woo.
For our big Halloween show. Yes, we will be donning our lederhosen.
Keg stands.
We're tapping a keg. We're tapping one of those gigantic wood keg deals.
And the girls will be wearing our drindles.
Yes.
Already tried all of them on. Everyone's looking great.
I think it's dreidel and dirndl. Is one of
I said it wrong?
Yes.
Dirndl?
Dirndl
dreidel.
And dreidel. And,
totally separate.
Two things very rarely ever in the same sentence.
Dirndl. Okay. Got it.
So your dirndl. You got your dirndl. We got our lederhosen.
Yep.
Even our own Brian Altheimer, our sonic genius.
Mm-hmm.
Who, now Altheimer is kind of a German name, but yeah, I think... I'll tell you something right now. I think a lot of people can think he's not German.
Don't know. We could do the Ancestry.com thing.
We could do it
know.
With him. We could maybe we'll do it out there with way. Him, and we're going to find out. It's going to shock a lot of people in Germany.
It'll be a big reveal.
Yeah.
Friday.
It's going to shock those guys that were at the University of Florida, too. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Anyway, we have got there's going to be great food, great drink. They had the best Manhattan, by the way. I just want to tell you. Yes. At the Huffbrow House. It is, we got come out in costume, rock and roll from Rosie and the Rivets. You can, the first 250 people who arrive get a Row Strong bracelet.
Great.
You don't want to miss that.
No. Row Strong.
Yep. Plus, the son of Sven Gulli will be there.
Good.
This
Rich.
Is his Christmas, right? This is his, like, you know, I'm sorry for saying Christmas. I know I'm supposed to say it four times, not once. But this is that you know, it's like sort of Santa and Christmas.
Uh-huh.
That's Sven Gulli and Halloween.
He comes out a lot at that time of year.
Get all the details at WGNRadio.com/events. WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour presented by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands. Nice. All right.
Come on out.
Yep. Coming up on the other side, Coach Ditka is going to join us. We're going to talk Bears. Oh, God. The injury report I didn't like. Mm-hmm. Benny Cunningham's out, right?
Questionable. Chance he could play. He's got a hamstring issue going on there.
He's been playing lights out, too.
It's been great.
You got three great running backs.
This is a winnable, winnable game on Sunday.
Oh, good.
Got one. Oh, could be. This could be an all-star team leading record-setting quarterback. He's young. It's new. We don't know. But amazing talent. You have zero wide receivers.
Okay. Problem.
Marcus Wheaton, who's out with a groin injury.
Who made a couple really important catches on Sunday. I'm going to call it overtime near loss is what I'm going to call it. It wasn't a win. It was a near loss.
A near disaster.
Near disaster. Yeah. And then we're going to have, the line, the offensive line. Although the defense, I got to tell you something, this defense, mm-hmm. even the secondary is playing.
Solid.
Yep. Something about it. Well, we'll find out from Coach. Don't take my word for it. Here's a guy who knows what he's talking about, not me. Kim Gordon knows what she's talking about. She's got the WGN News coming your way in 2 minutes. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Yes, it is. And we want to wish a happy birthday week to Coach Ditka.
There he is, right there.
Okay.
Enjoy your birthday, Coach.
Oh, I don't celebrate him anymore, Anna, but thank you. It was fine. Everything's fine. It was just like any other day, only that was my birthday. Oh. 78 years ago.
78.
Wow. Well, you would never know. He still can kick my ass. That's the most important part of Coach Ditka is that, a man, 25 years as junior. All right. Let's talk about the Chicago Bears. We were just, first of all, give me your thoughts on the overtime win that was almost a total loss here. But where can this team improve?
You can't. Listen, they won the game. You can't look at it any other way. You don't look at Omaha, they could have lost it. Yeah, they could have lost it, but they won it. Now, here's what the Bears have that they do well. I think both of the quarterbacks are pretty good. I think the young kid's going to be a good quarterback. It might take a little bit of time. They can run the football. That's one thing they can do. They can run the football, and they will run the football. Off of that, they'll get play action and roll the quarterback out a little bit more. The other thing they do is they play pretty darn good defense. They really do. They get after you on defense. So, when you got those two ingredients, you got a lot to build on. I think John's done a good job. I don't know the receivers. I don't really know all that, but I don't follow close enough.
You don't have to worry about the receivers, Coach.
That's what I said. They don't have. I like the tight end, but again, you got to have the whole package, and that comes through signing and drafting and doing. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. I mean, my God, we have drafted people when we got there, and we brought them in, and we got the kind of people we wanted. And the football team became very good because of those players, not because of the coaching, because of the players.
What?
I don't care about Buddy Ryan's coaching or Mike Ditka's coaching. It's the players that play.
Do we need wide receivers, Coach?
Yeah, I think we do.
Well, I do. I don't know their names, so I can't tell.
Hey, Coach, the backfield, look, you mentioned the running game. Those guys look real good, and Cohen and Howard, sort of a lightning and thunder situation. Do they remind you of anybody you've seen play in the past where you have kind of a bruiser and then a quick kind of a fast running back to complement that?
Well, when we back in days when we played, when Sayers came, we had Piccolo and Sayers. But, Piccolo was not a big bruiser. He was a good football player. But I tell you what, Sayers is unbelievable. So, it's that kind of a deal. But you need a power back. When we ran the ball, we didn't expect our halfback to be the power back. We ran the fullback. So, and that's just the way it worked out. That was the offense we ran. They don't run those offenses anymore.
Right.
They run a one-back offense. So it's not the same. So then we ran the old-time stuff. They're finished with that, and I don't blame them.
Well, it's interesting that you can mix it up and they have two different running styles. But one of the things you're seeing with Tariq Cohen is that teams are seeing him on film. They're figuring out how to jam him up. Do you feel like they should start using Tariq Cohen in more of a kind of scat back or, put him in a slot, get him out and away, get the ball to him in space?
I think that's what they're going to do.
I really do. I think that, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. I mean, here's the thing. If you go out and you take Cohen and you flank him outside your receiver on the left side, say, he'll be outside the wide receiver. What are you going to do? What's the corner going to do? Who's going to go out and cover him?
Yeah.
Who's going to
yeah.
cover him? Where's the corner going? I mean, there's a lot of things they're going to do. What the game of football has evolved into, the coaching is unbelievable right now. Formations, the way they use people, it's so much more involved than we played. You know, we played a 46 defense. You could not even think about playing a 46 defense today. They would blow you out of the stadium.
Yeah.
It's incredible. But, you know, you got to, but again, you know, our everything we did was premised on one thing. You get to the quarterback before you can throw the football, you can be successful. And then you could at that time because you were bringing more people than they can block.
But Terry Cronin, that tricky touchdown pass he played through, that was so beautiful to watch. I think he's my favorite player because he's so fun to watch, and it just seems like he's a superstar in a lot of ways. I guess my question to you, coach, is does he have lasting power at this level at 5'6"? How does that work long term?
Well, I don't 5'6" is okay if you don't get hit a lot. If you get hit a lot, then I don't know. I'll be honest with you. But I don't. When you look at his body, this kid's strong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's fat, elusive, he's coordinated, but he's strong. He's got a strong body. So if he was 6'5", he would have just as much chance of getting hurt if he was the wrong way.
Yeah, he's going the other way.
I don't know
he's
soft.
He can run between their legs.
Well, he does.
Maybe that helps.
I think that's a little bit of the truth here is that, you know, he gets...
It's hard to find.
He gets in the line, and they're all like, where is that
Where
guy?
Is that little squirrely
yeah.
guy?
Hey. Well, you know, that's a good point. I mean, the kid is a good football player. Let's not get carried away, but whether he's 5'1" or 6'1", he's a good football player. So the Bears are using him the right way. They're getting a lot of mileage out of him, and I like what they're doing. And I love the big back because I think you got to pound people. You got to make them know that, hey, we're over here. This is us. You got to stop our guy.
Yeah, Jordan Howard is not only big, he's quick. He can hit the line, and he makes a cut, and he's gone. He's
patient.
Pretty great.
Hey, Coach, when it comes to developing a quarterback, we've seen the game plan they've put together for Trubisky, and it's pretty tentative. Like, they're not letting him throw the ball a ton. Do you agree with that game plan, or if you're going to start the guy, should you just let him air it out a little bit, throw the ball, and develop him that way?
No, the coaches know what they're doing. Believe me, I'm not saying that to be politically correct. I'm saying they know what they're doing. They've got a game plan, or they got a plan with Mitch, and they're going to develop him a certain way. I think as they find out what his real, his talents are, you'll see. I think you'll see him outside the pocket maybe a little bit more, maybe on the roll. But those are all things that are going to come. You if you run the ball good, you're going to have a good. You could have a good bootleg game. That's all there is to it. If you don't run the ball well, nobody's going to respect it. So you know, it's not going to be, you can't rule the quarterback out. But I think that the kid, you got to run. This is his first year. Heck, man, you look at too many. You look at quarterbacks. It took them a long time. I mean, there were only a few quarterbacks that I remember in the NFL, even in my era. I mean, Fran Tarkenton, his first year. He was probably one of the only ones I really remember his first year that was really, really good. Other ones played, but they weren't quite as good.
I did like when you said, I don't mean to be politically correct here. I did like that.
You like that part?
Yeah, I like that part. Yeah.
It stood out.
I don't see that. I wasn't worried about that, Coach.
You can't ever accuse me of that.
No, hasn't been done. All right, so as we head into this game, though, let's talk a little bit about how you're preparing this team. Every team has to think about being a Super Bowl team, right? Every team has to think about making the playoffs and being great. Is that going on in this locker room, do you think, right now, or are they just trying to get through the season?
Their goal right now is to win the next game, period. You don't worry about 5 weeks down the week or when you play Green Bay or Minnesota. You worry about the next game. You take care of business this week, then you go on to the next game. Now, if you're watching that division, Rodgers is out. The Green Bay is going to have a lot hard time. Now, not that they can't win. It's going to be hard. Mm-hmm. Minnesota looks like they're a pretty good football team, but we'll see. Detroit's really not that good. So, I mean, I'm just telling you right now, the division – is up for grabs, and I think if you win your division, you're going to get in the playoffs. I mean, that's what the key has got to be. You win your division. I don't care if you get in at 8-8 or 7-9. I don't care how you get in it.
Could be this year. You could see that.
I mean, It's going to be close. It really is. So that's the whole key. Get in the playoffs and then make your move. That's all.
It's interesting, too. It looks like the Panthers aren't really what the Panthers have been. So you've got there's an opportunity here. And at Soldier Field, is it an advantage right now, do you think, even though this is a young team at Soldier Field?
I don't think they look at it that way. They're going to go out. They have no fear of the Panthers. I mean, you know, Ron Rivera played for the Bears. He's a great coach, a great young man. But, I mean, they're going to go after. They're going to go after Cam Newton. They're going to disrupt him. They're going to make it tough for him to throw the football. That's all they're going to mean. That's all part of the game. They got some good receivers. They got a good tight end. There's no question about it. But the Bears got a good defense. So you match up and you get after them. You out-physical them and you out-play them. That's all. I mean, I know this sounds simple, but that's to me is what it is. It becomes, if you win the one-on-one battles in a football game, you're going to win the football game, period.
Coach, that Aaron Rodgers injury completely opens up the division race. Do the Packers have a shot without Rodgers on the field?
Well, I don't know. I don't think anybody's really seen this other kid play. I know Mike's a good coach. I mean, Mike's an outstanding coach, and he'll get him playing. I mean, he'll get the guys playing as best they can. You got to understand, though, the Packers don't have a great defense, and they didn't have a great defense when Rodgers was playing his best. I mean, that offense carried them through a lot of games. So by putting points on the board and getting wins that maybe they wouldn't have got otherwise. So, I'm just saying that they got some problems right now, and it's more than losing Rodgers is the main problem. There's no question. He might be the best football player, best quarterback in football. So he probably is the best quarterback in football. So you go through that, you lose him, you got to trouble. But they got to start playing defense up there too.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's true. And I, like you said, I mean, the Bears have a defense. This is it's interesting.
They got a good defense. Yeah. They got a very good defense, and they got a good running game. And like what you're doing, so you hang your hat on what you do best, and it'll all work out for the quarterback. This kid's a good kid. He's a smart kid, and he doesn't make bad decisions, as I see. I see him right now. I know he's young, but he doesn't make a whole lot of bad decisions.
Well, it does seem to me that there have been some bad decisions around him, though. They seem to want him to throw the ball away a lot now, and I guess that's because he's young. They don't want him to make mistakes and get it in his head. But the one thing that I saw last week that drove me nuts is when he's running the offense, and then they put him in a hurry up in third down, and it failed every time they put him in a hurry up. There's no real reason to do that. I know they're trying to give him some reps and give the defense a different look at the offense, but would you run a hurry up with this kid yet?
Well, what they're doing with the hurry up, that's not the reason. I believe the reason so the other team doesn't substitute their nickel package in their dime package. That's why you run a hurry up on third.
Well, it didn't work out very well. Did not work out very well.
All right. I didn't say anything about how it worked out.
All right, Coach. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
talk to you
Coach.
Next week. There
Thanks,
he
Coach.
Goes, Coach.
Happy birthday!
Right there. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, there he is. That was a classic moment with him. Uh-huh. You know, I'm not politically correct. I don't want to be politically correct. Really? Really?
Because
now
he
says
it. Confused that maybe
yeah.
you were.
You think Coach Dicka is waiting in line here for the Apple Store?
I don't think so.
Doesn't scream wait in line at the Apple Store type guy to me.
Oh, my God. And he's sort of dragging that one leg behind him as he goes up into Tim Cook and starts yelling in his ear hole.
What is this?
Yeah.
Maybe you throw apples.
What is this, glass box?
Right. What? And then, how much? $1,000 for a phone?
Not many Mike Dicka types in the line for the Apple Store. I don't see it.
I'd want Tim Cook to put a football helmet on, and then you get that great moment where Mike Dicka grabbed Jim Harbaugh's face mask and pulled it over and started screaming in his ear hole.
Yeah. Yep.
I think that's the moment, by the way, that Jim Harbaugh
kind of lost his marbles.
Became crazy Jim Harbaugh, became almost like a supervillain. It was like all of that energy was conferred into him. There's always in the origin story, Spider-Man bitten by the spider, that kind of thing.
Sure. Yep.
This was the moment where Harbaugh went, he had crazy eyes.
He got
it right there.
He has the crazy eyes, and it was a transformation. So something happened.
According to Coach Harbaugh, if you have pneumonia, just do 100 push-ups and drink a glass of whole milk, and that'll cure you.
Get back out
Those
there.
Are his words, not mine. Those are his
really
Coach
said
Harbaugh's
that.
Home remedy to getting over pneumonia.
Oh, my gosh.
You can do it.
Oh, gee.
He's 100 push-ups and a glass of milk, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Okay, pneumonia. I thought it was harder than that.
That's it. That's all you need to do.
Turns out medical science has been wrong this whole time.
Right.
All right. Violetta's got the WGN traffic trouble spots.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here? I want one bourbon, one shot, one beer. One bourbon, one shot, one beer.
Tastes great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life, and I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it. I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
I am so much smarter than this guy, Rex. I have a huge IQ. I took an IQ test, and let me just assure you, it came back positive, very positive. My IQ is through the roof, and frankly, through many of the clouds as well, okay? And by the way, I'm the only guy who even knows what IQ means. Most people don't even know what it stands for. Incredible. A lot of people don't know that.
Wow.
Roka on show with Anna DeBlas is right here, 720 WGN. Canarbal Wagon is out.
Yes. Thank God. TGIF.
Yep. That is exactly right. That feels good. All right. Susan Dannenberger is with us. And she's a winemaker. She's an owner of the Dannenberger Family Vineyards down in New Berlin, Illinois.
Love to see Susan.
And she brings with her this amazing collection of things. And again, we got to go back here. This is wine that is actually being vinted here in our fair state of Illinois.
It's a great state.
Yes, it is. Now, and we learned the last time she was here, she went to one of the great wine universities. I used to think that just any university was like a great wine university. Now, in this case, she actually did.
The place.
Right. UC Davis to learn about the wine industry. And then you came back from there to the family farm in central Illinois to do this.
Because I love it. I love it here.
And who knew this could be done? That's the thing.
There had to be so many doubters, Susan. I mean,
there were a lot of doubters.
Said, in Illinois, you're going to grow the grapes and produce great wine.
And you're a woman.
Why not?
In heels?
Just stick to soybeans or corn or do what everyone else does.
They thought I was crazy.
Well, we did talk about this last time, but the heels, I think, is a kind of a tough thing for two reasons. You know, heels out in the field, that seems like that's going you're going to sink in.
Aerates it every, you know.
Yeah, maybe that's a good
it's
idea.
Good for the soil.
I don't know.
The soil.
And during the crush, right? Isn't that a bad thing? Like, you know, walking around?
I do take them off for that because I don't want to ruin them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They get stained easily.
And you have a crush this weekend? Is that what you're saying?
We're grape stomping. Grape stomping. To raise money for Simmons Cancer Institute for breast cancer.
Mm. And you do that in heels too or no?
Take mine off because I don't want to ruin them. Yeah.
Now, do you put on the big rubber boots for that? You got the big, like, those, like, hunter boots?
Yeah, what do you wear?
Yeah, what do you wear for that?
No, barefoot.
You do barefoot?
Yeah. It's good.
What color are your feet? I mean, if you're in the wine business, how long does it take for your feet? I've always wondered this because you always see these pictures of people doing this, you know, like in old movies primarily. But you do see it, and you wonder, all right, now their feet are going to be red, up to like sort of mid calf, and now does that take like weeks for that to go away?
No, it comes off right away, but I have to be honest, we don't really do it that way in real life. But this is just for fun for the weekend to raise money. But normally we have a machine. I have a machine that does it, so it makes it a little bit easier.
Right. I see that. Right. If you go on those, and you have a tour, right? People can come see how this is all made.
Right now, with the crush pad up, it's really nice because, you know, all the equipment's out on the pad, and we've been doing the grapes, processing them in front of people.
And they come in big trucks, right? And
the trucks come with these huge micro bins, and we have to do it right then. If the grapes show up, you can't just keep, you know, living your life. You got to come out and take care of the grapes.
Why? And this may sound like a stupid question, but why are the crushers on wheels? Why are they in trucks? Do they move from vineyard to vineyard? Is that how that goes?
The vineyard growers bring me their bins and we unload them with a forklift and then dump them into our destemmer. And process them right.
The distemmer.
I know.
The
These are words I don't know.
That was my nickname in high school.
The distemmer. That takes the stems off?
Yeah, and they're like, what does he do? I don't know. Don't ask. How'd he get that? Don't
very
ask.
Very mysterious.
Yeah.
But you guys, your family was farming this land for 100 years, the story goes, right?
Mm-hmm.
For different types of crops, more traditional crops that you see.
Corn and soybeans, they would rotate.
And then did any of the equipment transfer over, or was it a complete overhaul to change
to wine? My dad sold everything and then rented out the property,
Oh,
it was kind of sad.
Like a John Mellencamp song, right? It was sort of like Farm Aid.
I know, it's a good country song even, right there.
We got to keep one tractor, so we just still have one tractor.
Oh. And does that work? I mean, but it's a different process, right?
It is.
Putting the vines
different.
In the ground is very, very different than sowing seeds for corn or for soybeans, right?
The combines are ridiculously they're like at the price of a house, so I could never afford something like that.
But it's cool. But it's really cool technology when you see them working now. This is not like the beginning scene from Superman, right, where he's on the farm and all of a sudden, oh my god, he can run 200 miles an hour, who knew, right? I mean, it was like, this is a very different, it's like a, and the, you know, the old man on the old tractor. Sometimes you see those old tractors on farms because people just keep them just to show them off.
They look cool.
But the combines on the stuff that they actually use to, you know, this is why
it's very high tech.
I don't know. Somehow, some way, the way I tell this story, when people ask me from the coasts, like, what is farming country like? I go, I don't know, but they got this big equipment, and they always seem to know what they're doing, and now you get a head of like, or you get an ear of corn that is the size of a football now, and that's all you need to know.
And it tastes delicious, too. Yeah. Well, I've gone to some of the Midwestern vineyards, and I feel like over time, the change in the taste of the wine has been remarkable. And I mean, I just wonder what you attribute to that. Like, it just people like you learning more from the coast, or
I think people are learning more. There's ability to get all kinds of yeasts that maybe we couldn't get before, you know, that only California might have been able to access. And now with the internet, I can order yeasts from all over the world, and that can change the profile of a grape tremendously. And I think, learning more and getting used to the climate in Illinois and understanding what we can grow. Besides just a, you know, a Norton or, you know, an old Concord grape, people are really making advances as far as hybrid grapes that can live in this weather.
Tougher weather. That's fascinating.
But they have to sugar, right? I mean, that's just, I remember being on one of these tours years ago, and the problem is that you just start drinking. And then you forget everything you learned. By the time the cab or the car picks you up and takes you to the next vineyard, you're like,
this is all great.
It's great. I don't know. And I've kind of moved on. But it's like it's about sugar content, right? Isn't that what you're trying
to control? Sugar makes the alcohol. Yeah, that makes the difference. Mine, I usually wait to pick mine until the sugars are a little bit higher. So most of my wines are 13 to 14 to 15% alcohol. So they are a little bit higher than a traditional Illinois wine.
That explains the bottles, because I've noticed that there's all kinds of things on the labels of the bottles. And I'm like, I can see that they're drinking when they're making these things. I can see what's going on there.
There's some fun labels, you're right.
All right, one more time. Let's explain what the Simmons Cancer Institute is and how you're raising money for it.
We are doing grape stomping this weekend on Saturday. And when people come out, they can stomp grapes, put their footprint on a T-shirt, and they pay a $20 fee, and that money is going to the Cancer Institute in Springfield, Illinois. I've gone through breast cancer. This is my second time, and I just finished all my treatments, I hope. Fingers crossed. And so I wanted to give back to the community. So we've been doing some things with them.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a lovely thing to do. And if people want to take part in this, they can come out on Saturday and Sunday, or just Saturday? What?
Just Saturday.
Just Saturday. Okay. The Annenberger Family Vineyards, which if you're in the area, if you just happen to be around there, how do they find you?
We are about 10 miles southwest of Springfield, Illinois. They can look us up on the internet.
Put it right in your phone or say to Waze, find me. The Dannenberger Family Vineyard.
Hey, Google. Hey, Siri.
Yeah. Oh, don't say
that.
No, Siri and Ro have a very bad relationship, so don't bring that up.
She cannot stand me. It is like, it's just another failed relationship on my part, but it is.
She doesn't understand you is the problem.
Love, hate.
Yeah. I think more hate. And actually, now it's just, she doesn't even respond to me. As a matter of fact, Tim Cook is across the plaza here. I don't know if you know this, the guy from Apple.
I see.
You should let him know.
I'm going to go over there and I'm going to buttonhole him, close talk him.
What's the problem with Siri? Doesn't get along with me.
I'm going to do creepy uncle to him.
Yeah,
I'm going to go
that.
Up to him, and it's going to be, Tim King, what's your name? Tim Cook, why does Siri hate me so much? I just love her.
Security.
See, because right, and see how long it takes for hipsters to tackle me and take me out.
Don't touch Tim Cook. Right. He's trying to get near him.
Right, you're not allowed. Apparently, you're not allowed to touch Tim Cook. I don't know what that's. I do know what that's about, actually, if you want to think about it. All right, we're going to taste the wine coming up on the other side. But first, Violetta Podomatic's got the WGN traffic trouble spots.
Then there's this. They're real. They're Chicago. Watch Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggets, Larry Potash, and Robin Baumgarten get real in the morning with the WGN TV morning news team weekdays 4 to 10.
All right, the wine is flowing on the Carnarvon wagon.
It is.
Nothing bad can happen here now.
It is delicious.
When the wine goes in, the bad thoughts have to go somewhere else.
So it works.
Not always.
Oh, no.
Susan Dannenberger is with us from the Dannenberger Family Vineyards, and they're
you
down
drank
in
too much on the break, I think.
Perhaps in New Berlin, Illinois, which is south of Springfield, about 10 miles south of Springfield, mm-hmm. right? So if people want to go down there, it's an actual, real live working wine. It's a winery, right? Mm-hmm. It's a wine farm. I think that's what we call it here in Illinois. What they don't know, we're making wine farm. It's a wine farm. And so they, you've got, and you just, all right, explain what you just did here. You've got one that you've just taken out of the barrel as like a tasting. First of all, how long does the wine stay in the barrel?
It'll probably be another year and a half. It's been in for about 6 months. And
so 2 years about the time?
Yeah, probably 2 years. It'll sit there. It depends on how I think it does. Some of them may sit in there for 3 years. You know, I really taste it and check on it each week.
And what's the wood for the barrel?
Mm-hmm. French oak. Although with this particular one that we're drinking, I did a hybrid barrel. It has American on the top, so it gives a little bit more vanilla. This one has a lot of black pepper in the profile, and I was trying to tone it down just a little bit with mm-hmm. Just a little bit more vanilla. I prefer French oak.
This one is so good. You can taste that pepper as you describe it. It's almost like spicy.
And it's only a year old. I mean, it does. It has another year and a year and a half to go. But
and you have to test it. How often do you like dip in and figure out where it is on these things?
At least once a month, but probably more, just to see, you know, how, because it changes. It's like a living thing, and it's changing all the time.
So do you open like a full barrel when you do that? How does that work?
Yes, because we have to keep topping them off. The oak starts, you know, absorbing some of the wine. Oh. And as time goes by, the wine will be lower and lower in the barrel. So we have some that we keep in a stainless steel tank just to keep topping off the barrels as time goes on. So we have to keep checking on it. Otherwise, some danger, something bad will happen.
This is so complicated.
Isn't it?
And I just kept thinking that they crush some grapes, they throw them into a barrel.
Put a barrel, forget about it for
right,
a while,
right,
and then like some alarm goes off, and
right.
you go get it. You're like, pour it.
It's like a microwave. Bing!
Look, Camus. You know, I don't know. That's kind of how I thought it went. All right, so, and as you're doing that, you're, then when the vintage comes out, though, that's the year that the wine was, what when you see the year on the label, what is that?
The year that we harvested.
That's a harvest number, not when you started putting it in a bottle. Mm-hmm. Got it. Because that's why they want to know what the grapes were. Because people will go, you know, that was a very, very bad moment.
Too rainy, too dry.
In the south of France.
Now, you have one that has just received some awards, didn't you? Is it your Cab Franc or something?
My Cab Franc, it's done so well. It had 92-point rating. It got a bronze in France. It won a Jefferson Cup trophy and some double golds in different competitions in California. And
wow, so even California States. People are taking the Illinois wine seriously, apparently. They know there's some good stuff being produced here,
right? See, right? Bronner was here yesterday.
Uh-huh. We should have asked him.
Yeah,
he
we should
wine.
Ask him about that, because he's should've. Yeah, I know, and we're
buy
like,
some Dannenberger. They've
he
got
likes
a monthly
my wine
thing.
So you should have asked him.
You got the Wine of the Month club too, don't you, or something? Like, can you do that?
We're starting a wine club. Yes,
a wine club.
We're gonna be, our first shipments will be going out in December, so we just started it. The software took a little bit longer than we had hoped, so it's finally up and running. It can go online
Very
and sign
cool.
up.
I love that.
Think about that. And again, see, if I start a winery, all I'd think about was the grapes, putting them in the barrel, leaving. I wouldn't think about the software. I wouldn't think about the equipment.
Chains
I would think about
topping them off.
Right.
But your winery would be very clean. I know it would.
It would be incredibly well. Maybe even not. I mean, by the time I'm done, I could lose interest halfway through. I don't think I'd be good at this. I'm glad you're doing it, and we're not doing it. That's.
You're doing something very right, though, Susan. It's really awesome. Such
Thank
a success
you.
story, and this is delicious wine.
All right. Susan Dannenberger, she's a winemaker, and she's the owner of Dannenberger Family Vineyards down in New Berlin, Illinois, and it's great stuff. I mean, it's kind of revolutionary now that in the Midwest there's great wines can be vinted, and they are. and this is
spectacular.
And people should go down and see. And it's right here. You don't have to go to, you know, you don't have to go to France. You don't have to go to California. You don't have to go to these other places to go see how this whole thing works. You've got, there's a concert venue at your place. There's a there's a chef out there who's came from Alinea, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, this is, if you want an experience in central Illinois, that's the one for you. Dannenberger Family Vineyards. It's a great, especially now with the leaves changing and the, and
sounds like a beautiful place to be this time of year.
It is wonderful.
I did explain to the governor yesterday that if he really wants to make a little bit of money here, they you know, they're setting up this, this, they got an idea to connect University of Illinois with the University of Chicago and Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
And I said the best thing to do is to change the speed limit on 57 to 120 miles an hour.
Right.
You want to do
that? He liked that. I think he took notes. You know, we have people take notes, and he's going to tell his staffers about that.
So I could get to the Dannenberger Family Vineyard in about an hour and 15 minutes. I mean, that would be the – see, that is my plan right there, if I could just work that out.
Yeah.
So there's a way to do that. All right. Well, thank you again very much.
Thank
and
you,
if people
Susan.
What's your website?
DannenbergerFamilyVineyards.com or DFV-Wines.com.
There you go. DFV-Wines.com. All right. Violetta does not have anything to do here. She's already done the things that she has to do. Kim Gordon is standing by with the WGN News, coming your way in 2 minutes. Rocanjo with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN.
Narva Wagon has rolled.
Yeah, it has. The Dannenberger wines are here from the Dannenberger Family Vineyard down in New Berlin, Illinois.
And they are nothing short of fantastic.
Yeah, how about that? How does that?
Illinois wines.
It happened. It has happened. What had happened was.
What had happened was it happened.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Wouldn't think it would be true, but it is.
All right. Well, you know what this means, don't you? It's Friday. It's 5:40, which it should be 5 o'clock, but it's not because it's 5:40 because the Carnival Wagon rolled. So
it's the top five on the Rocon Show. Let's go.
This is the top five at five on the Rocon Show.
There you go. Live music coming up, by the way, in the program. Great moments in vinyl are here.
Assembling in the studio as we speak.
All right, checking in at
number five.
All right, here's an NRA television ad that is narrated by the group's national spokesperson, Dana Lash, who was a talk show host, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's a sort of a Tea Party founder and then a talk show host and now NRA spokesperson. And she says that she promises that opponents of the president will fail in attempting to destroy this country.
We are witnesses to the most ruthless attack on a president and the people who voted for him and the free system that allowed it to happen in American history. From the highest levels of government to their media, universities, and billionaires, their hateful defiance of his legitimacy is an insult to each of us. But the ultimate insult is that they think we're so stupid that we'll let them get away with it.
Really? Really? Is this where we're heading?
There's no mention of guns or gun rights in this ad, apparently.
Oh, wait.
Is it coming up?
Yeah.
These saboteurs slashing away with their leaks and sneers, their phony accusations and gagging sanctimony, drive their daggers through the heart of our future, poisoning our belief that honest custody of our institutions will ever again be possible, so they can then build their utopia from the ashes of what they burned down. No, their fate will be failure, and they will perish in the political flames of their own fires. We are the National Rifle Association of America, and we are freedom's safest place.
What's with the scary music in the background? You're supposed to be scared.
Is that Civil War II as opposed to World War III? I don't know what that is. I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's not good for the Dow eventually. Maybe okay now. Not good in the long run.
I wouldn't think so.
No. No.
Way to bring people over on your side.
Yeah. Oh, God. All right. That's
Where is the bump stock legislation? Forget about that.
No, that's dead.
Just checking.
Yeah, all they needed was a week or two to go,
remembers that anymore.
Oh, we're all for that. They'll forget. Don't worry about it. All right. Checking in at
number four.
Sarah. Won't you smile for me, Sarah?
Here she is, Sarah Sanders, today at the White House. This got contentious, too.
It did.
It's a Friday, man.
Chill out a little bit.
This whole controversy, I just want to say this one more time, and then I'll be done, because it's got to end now. This controversy about the fallen soldiers in Niger and whether the president was appropriate in his phone calls to the family. You got the Florida congresswoman who says that it wasn't appropriate because she overheard the phone call. And then you got John Kelly coming out yesterday and telling a story about how he was told by his bereavement officer about the loss of his son.
Powerful and emotional, what he had to say. But then he added in things that aggravated people.
But he did. But before he did that, he explained what it was that he was trying to explain to the president, what the president should say. And, you know, perhaps a president not so artful when it comes to sympathy and empathy and things like that. So maybe it got lost in translation and that's the whole deal. It should have just stopped there. This is a private moment between grieving family members. And this really shouldn't be for the politics of it. And I know that a lot of people are arguing that the president started. I actually don't deny that because, he started with the whole Obama thing and all that. It's got to end here. And it's got to stop. It's got to stop from this congresswoman. It's got to stop from the lectern of the White House press office because it's driving me nuts and it's ruining my Friday.
It kind of is. And there's no way that is the spats between the different sides over how this was handled is the most important thing going on in the world for the last 48 hours.
So here's what Sarah Sanders first said.
Can he come out here and talk to us about this at some point?
I think he's addressed that pretty thoroughly yesterday.
No, he was wrong yesterday in talking about getting the money. The money was
secured
before she
came into Congress. If you want to go after General Kelly, that's up to you. But I think that if you want to get into a debate with a four-star Marine general, I think that that's something highly inappropriate.
I think it's okay to ask a question about what he said, just for clarity's sake. I think that's okay.
Yeah, I think it's America. You get to question authority.
If anybody saw, I think we still do, right?
Yeah, I think we do. If anybody saw the Vietnam 18 hours of Vietnam.
So many people have talked about how powerful that is.
Yeah, and you get to see that we should be questioning because they don't always make all the right decisions, or they certainly didn't in that. You want to hold them to their decisions. So there's that. But he's not even a four-star general. In his current capacity, he's a retired four-star general who's now
representing the administration.
Right, is now in a political job, and so he does get to get questioned. I think it's odd, but she gets caught up a bit. But I think that the president and people around him love this. The real issue here is how is John Kelly going to handle this? Because John Kelly was given bad information about what this congresswoman said. There was he was told there's a video of her at the opening of the FBI office in South Florida, and that she had personally gone and gotten the $20 million for her district for the FBI, and that it seemed to be unseemly the way she was saying it, and there was a dedication to fallen FBI officers. And so he went with that story. It turns out that story is not accurate.
No.
And because the video has now surfaced, and she doesn't talk about that in the video.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders seemed to imply that there might have been conversations outside of that video. We don't know. I mean,
yes, this is what she says here.
General Kelly said he was stunned that Representative Wilson made comments at a building dedication honoring slain FBI agents about her own actions in Congress, including lobbying former President Obama on legislation. As General Kelly pointed out, if you're able to make a sacred act like honoring American heroes all about yourself, you're an empty barrel. If you don't understand that reference, I'll put it a little more simply. As we say in the South, all hat, no cattle.
There you have it.
Yeah. She does have a hat, by the way. I don't know that she has cattle, but she has a hat. And so that's a reference. It's a sort of a shot across the bow at her, which I think does play very well with, you know, the Trump supporters who are watching this and they see her in the hat. And they think, why is she wearing the goofy hat? And so.
But it's time to fan the flames. I mean, fanning the flames and just kind of let it go. It's not the most important thing. The most important thing is you lost four people here. And the fact that in Niger, there is an issue here with, you saw Senator Graham say today that we don't want the next 9/11 person, you know, terrorist to come from this region, and it's a real focus for us right now and figuring out what's happening here and being able to address it. That's an issue.
And John Kelly, you know, doesn't want to, knows the importance of telling the truth from that podium, even if nobody else does, he does. And now that he misstated something that he was told, he's going to go back to the person who told him that and try to get that straightened around. And that's going to be interesting to see how he reacts to all of this in the long run. Because I think even the members of the press corps there look at John Kelly and go, please save us. I hope somebody is in control here.
I'm glad you're here.
We'll get to your 3-year, 2-in-1. But first, Violetta Powdermedics got the WGN traffic trouble spots. All right, Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN, top 5-5 continues. We're now up to, but not including,
number 3.
Sunday night, season 8 debut of The Walking Dead. Ooh. That's on the AMC.
Mm-hmm.
Is the 100th episode, by the way.
Gee, it's been that long.
Yeah. First episode kicks off the all-out war storyline from the comics, with Andrew Lincoln's Rick Grimes leading an army made up of members of Hilltop Kingdom and Alexandria communities against Jeffrey Dean Morgan's saviors.
Those who use and take and kill to carve out the world and make it theirs alone, we end them. We don't celebrate it. We don't have shame about it either. There's only one person who has to die. And I will kill him myself. I will.
It's kind of like Game of Thrones without the armor, right? Isn't that the same,
yeah,
same sort of thing?
Don't they eat each other? Is that what's going on there?
Well, there's dead people running around, right? And there's guys. As opposed to guys having swords, they got bandoliers and
very
guns.
Similar. Well, yeah. With Game of Thrones kind of being out right now, over for a little while, it's kind of maybe I'll turn my attention to this. I haven't watched much of it yet.
Do you see they're starting to shoot the new Game of Thrones?
I know.
And everybody's trying to figure out things. But spoiler alerts already, because there's cast members there that are... I wonder if they sometimes hire people that you think are dead to walk around the town in Iceland or wherever they're shooting. And they go, take a look at that. I don't know. Why is he still here? Figure it out. All right. Checking in at
number 2.
All right, the Lakers kicked off their basketball season last night. Highly touted rookie Lonzo Ball.
Oh boy.
Do we have to keep hearing about the balls?
I think for a long time to come.
Seriously?
Balls are everywhere.
I'm telling you. It's like a steam room. I mean, they're everywhere.
And they all have their clothing lines and their shoes and right everything.
Enough with the balls already.
I'm done
balls.
With it. I don't even know the difference between LeVar and Lonzo and Little Alonzo and Limey. What's the other one's name?
I don't remember.
Balls this, balls that.
Yeah, they're just too many balls. And they're all kind of obnoxious.
Oh, very.
Well, I think the dad is the most obnoxious, right?
Yeah.
Is that
LeVar?
Is that
yeah. Yeah. All right. So Lonzo struggled mightily in the game, as it turns out, scoring 3 points and pulling down 9 rebounds. That did not stop his dad, though, LeVar, from proclaiming him the greatest player of all times. He spun the performance during a wild post-game press conference, which is really funny because he goes out. He has his own press conference. And he sat down with Stephen A. Smith, which that is the road show you want to see. LeVar and Stephen A.
Oh, excuse me, you had some explaining to do. 3 points on 1-for-6 shooting.
It was a great opening night.
What? How? Explain.
My brand went up 12%. Oh. It's always good. Even when you lose, I win. You see what I'm saying? Big baller brand, we here to stay.
I got
to tell you what, Lonzo did good.
How? What game were you watching? How did he do good tonight? Well, how did he do good tonight? Explain that, Mr.
Rebounds.
Coach.
That is just beautiful.
They should have a show of just them two debating.
Right. Just Stephen A. losing his mind. I want to send Stephen A. some Lipitor or something. I'm worried about him. I'm worried about his heart.
Although he might be right. Challenging him.
Yes.
How do you say that's the best game?
When he was in there, it's very positive. Let's break it down. 1-for-6, it ain't about shooting. It's about rebounding, assists, catching the ball, running the lane. Somebody got to run down the middle of that floor. Don't make me bring my shoes out and run. I can get 20 points running down the middle.
So let me get this straight. What you're saying is
your son
really didn't have a bad game. It's just that everybody around him had a struggle. And because of that, that's why he didn't look as good.
That's
is that what you're saying
about everybody?
I'm asking a question. I'm asking a question.
They're going to learn to play with him, and then the winning gonna go sky high. Trust me.
Okay. Let's hope this is serious.
Trust me. I think we've learned something very important. When people say, trust me, don't.
Number one.
Toyota. 40 years ago today, Gillsburg, Mississippi, plane carrying the members of Lynyrd Skynyrd crashed in a field. Guitarist Steve Gaines, his sister Cassie Gaines, and lead singer Ronnie Van Zant. All lost in that crash. They also, both pilots and an assistant road manager were also lost, and there were a lot of injuries on board. Days before, the band had just released what would become their highest charting album, Street Survivors. It came out, and then the band essentially had to break up, at least for a decade. 'Cause I'm as free as bird now. And this bird you cannot change. Oh, 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 and the bird you cannot change.
The top five at five.
Oh man, I cannot wait for this. This is going to be something.
Sounds beautiful.
We've got Great Moments in Vinyl in the studio with us, and when they've been here before, and the whole idea here, let's just, you know, if you don't mind, if we could, if I could get Mr. Cochran just to step up to the microphone.
And not Steve Cochran. This is a different Cochran.
This is
no
different
relation,
Cochran.
Right?
Although it's a very funny thing because this Cochran was also in radio for many, many, many years.
It's confusing, but totally separate people.
And I just think that this Cochran is just one of those. I, as a kid, you know, hearing Bill Cochran on the radio, I would say to myself, "Are they making that name up?" Because I'd hear Steve Cochran too, and I would hear Bill Cochran. I'm going, "They're making this name up. This is not a real name.
It's a stage name or something."
Is it a real name, Bill
Cochran? There's a name to go through high school with.
You have suffered and lived, and oh my gosh, you're stronger for it.
Yep, Scott's Irish.
All right, okay, it's real. All right, I mean, I guess it's Steve Cochran. Is that his real name? Do you think?
Think
you worked with him?
I'm going to say yes would be the answer.
Well, the wisdom in radio is you should have a name you can picture. You know, you say Rokan. I know how that's.
Oh, they had no
idea. What do
you
picture when you say Rokan?
Oh my God, that no one.
How to spell it? How to spell it? That's what I mean.
Okay.
It's funny because people thought
wrong.
For years, people thought it was just one word. There's still a lot of people who just think it's like one word. Rokon, R-O-K-O-N.
People
like
at Starbucks think it's very different than the way it is.
Yeah. If the Starbucks people can't figure it out, how are they supposed to be able to figure it out? Until these radio executives started putting up billboards with my name on it, no one knew what the hell was going on.
It
was like, I don't know who that. What is that?
When I was at WNUA, we used to play an artist called Acoustic Alchemy. And we occasionally would get a request for not the electric stuff by Alchemy, but the Acoustic Alchemy. No, Acoustic Alchemy. That was the band.
That's a great
band. So let's talk about what this, because this, I love what you're doing here, because this is I think that the, in this era in which there are so many signals coming at us, there's so much data coming at us, it's really hard to figure out what we should be paying attention to. So curation becomes a really important issue, right? It's
you know,
if you want to watch movies on TV, you go to channels where they're curating the movies for you. They're telling you, here are the best, and this is why.
Yeah.
And what you have done, which I think is really fascinating, you've used your years of radio experience and your musicianship and all that to figure out.
And my English degree from Northwestern.
And
Go Cats. All right, another one.
There you go.
We're everywhere.
Finally, somebody had to do it. I'm surprised you didn't say Harvard. All right, so this is what you've done is you're taking these, you know, great moments of the last 40 years of rock and roll and pop
soundtrack
music,
of our lives,
right, and putting bands together to go out and do the music, and you've got great musicians with you. Depending on the genre that you're doing, right, they can sometimes change. Who the individuals are who are in the band, but because this is a totally new construct that I'm seeing here compared to what we've seen before, And you're curating the music. You're telling us the story behind how this came to be these earworms for us and these
classic albums that we grew up with. I mean, years ago, I started off in a Van Morrison class at the Old Town School of Folk Music. And Alton, who's going to be singing for us a little later, Alton Smith, was one of the people who was teaching that class. And we were covering, I forget which albums at the time. But I saw all these teachers. I stayed in other classes there. And I saw all these great performers like Aaron Tedesco, who's behind me, and Manny Bansis, who's on the congas here. They were doing this music, teaching other people how to play it. And I thought, you know, we could do something on a stage. I could tell some stories about the songs and draw people in. You know, you get backstories about what the music is about, where it came from, what the artist was thinking.
I do love that. The inspiration for a song. And I like how the way you're a great storyteller.
Well,
so
thanks.
It comes across.
It goes from Allman Brothers a couple of months ago, which was just
did you love that guitarist?
A kick-ass show. It was one. I mean, it was
so good.
You just cannot... I can't do it justice because people are like, oh, I'm just going to go see an Allman Brothers tribute band. No, you're not.
No. Different experience.
You're seeing, you're hearing the stories of how it all happened, and then the musicianship on that show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, how do you? I mean, Greg Allman was a genius, right?
With Greg on the guitar or the organ and the vocals, and you had Dwayne Allman playing guitar, and we kind of mixed it around. We had our guitarist do the singing for that night, but he was incredible. 25-year-old guy that someone had recommended to me, and I heard him play, and I said, "We got to don't tell anyone, but we might do a Jimi Hendrix show with him." So,
oh wow, that would be good.
So
we like a challenge.
Yeah, well, that's that would be one. So now you're doing. When you said this last time you were here, you go, hey, we're doing this George Michael show, and I thought, well, let's see, you're doing classic rock. Now you're going to do, you know, a pop icon, British pop icon,
absolutely.
Who had this probably one of the purest voices in modern music, and then all I could think to myself is, who the hell is he going to find to sing that? And there they are, right here behind him.
Boy,
Aaron Tedesco,
good.
Vanessa Vincent. And a fellow by the name of Peter Andriotis, who couldn't make it today, but the three of them are just amazing. So Alton, who is here, was our Elton John, Michael Stipe, Robert Plant, and some past shows. So I recruited him to fill out the vocals today.
All right, so we will. We're going to hear what you're doing here. So let's talk a little bit about what you think the key contribution is here from George Michael, right? What is he? You know, 50 years from now, people when they talk about George Michael, what are they going to be talking about?
Probably the status as an icon, you know? I mean, I don't know how political you're allowed to get on the Rokon show.
You,
but
you go, have you heard the damn show? it's like all politics
we
now.
We go there.
I wanted to have some fun, and the next thing you know, Donald Trump got elected. But go ahead.
You know, presumably we will be moving in a direction of more freedom, more acceptance, and that sort of thing. And I think George Michael will be seen as an icon for paving the way for that. I mean, admittedly, he was not out when he first started.
Right.
But he became an emblem for a lot of people. Some stories, I don't have them prepared right now, but talking about Twitter posts upon his death, and many people saying things about how they, he was the man who showed the way to them, you know, so that a wee gay boy like me in Scotland could become a happy middle-aged gay man later in life. You know, he paved the way for that.
Well, he came out pretty early, didn't he? And it was
he was outed.
Outed. I didn't know that.
And
he became
an
LGBTQ activist, and he was, you know, he was out front about it. But
well, once
after
he was outed,
he got outed. He was, he got arrested, right? I mean, there were a couple of things that
I thought he was already outed by then.
He was living that. He did that Elton John thing. Speaking of Elton John, he did that Elton John thing where Elton John told, was it Rolling Stone, right? 1973, he told him, yeah, he's bisexual.
Right.
And then, but
he got married too.
He did. He got married too. And that was a weird moment right there. That was like that was like in the middle of the Bond villain moment. And he married a woman who looked like a Bond. Villain wife, you know? And it was like
Grace Jones or something?
Yeah,
what
kind of looked like that. Yeah. Renata Blanc or something. Wasn't her name?
German, I think.
Yeah. And you're like, who? What? Is he? What? And so it was interesting because I don't think initially that George Michael was completely comfortable with it because the labels, right? The marketing of the music marketers were like, oh, come on, Sony, they didn't want him to be gay because what happens? He can't sell a record in Tulsa.
I don't think he had an idea quite yet. You know, he was introducing himself as bisexual. But there was a great line here. I hope I can find it quickly. But he had met the show that he was doing down in Brazil. And down in the front of the audience, it was the Rock and Rio show. That's what it was, in front of, whatever, 60,000, 160,000 people. Some guy, stage right, caught his eye. And the two of them eventually connected after the show. And George, how did he put it? I suddenly found myself being with someone that I loved rather than someone whose body I wanted to share for a while. It was a breakthrough moment for him, a chance to you know, he didn't feel comfortable in that sexuality because it wasn't something that gave him joy until he had fallen in love with someone.
And he'd come from a very conservative family.
Oh,
Greek family.
Greek Cypriots. I don't think they had no time for that. So he, well, you want a sad story. I mean, George's uncle, who he didn't know about till he was 16 or 17, had committed suicide around the time George was born. He was suspected of being gay, and there were no gay rights laws in Britain back in the 1950s. Mm-hmm. And so apparently he waited until the child was born before he killed himself because he didn't want to cast a pall over the leading up to the birth.
Oh, my God.
But,
I mean,
the thought is that here's a man, had he waited, could have had a comfortable gay middle-age existence.
Yeah.
And
even in a country that didn't seem like that was going to be possible.
Exactly. At the time. Life, right? I mean, who would have dreamt it at the time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because Elton John and George Michael had this incredible, you know, collaborative thing. And I think that, you know, Elton John decided after it was like, okay, all right, dudes, I'm gay. Okay. I'm totally gay. I'm not bisexual. And and she kind of looked like a dude anyway.
And this is my own hair too.
Yeah. Right. Well, there was that. But once he became comfortable with himself, which was really, you know, it took a long time. I think he really wanted to shepherd people who were in the business and keep them away from the influences in the business were saying you can't be yourself because if you're yourself, you're not going to be able to sell records. And so now no one can sell records, right? Because the internet steals them all. So this is a moment for him. And certainly George Michael was like, because George Michael was, I even forgive him for Wham. Because I kind of liked
Wham.
Wake Me Up When You Go-Go. I kind of like that song.
I like that a lot.
It's infectious. But you know, he sold 25 million copies of records with Wham. He wasn't even 23 yet.
Right.
Gee, I didn't
imagine
that. Yeah.
And then went on to Faith, which sold another 20-some million.
Will the Wham portion of his life be part of your
show? We're doing a few Wham songs. Some Guilty Pleasures are allowed.
Wrong. Sing along. Sing along with it.
Are you doing Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go?
We are going to do that. We can't do that here now. We need a horn section.
We will request it. There's so many other good George Michael songs.
Oh, my God. That's risky. Now you stop and you think to yourself, I don't know, this show's probably not for me. But then you go see the show, and you're going to walk away going, oh, my God, I should have been here the whole time. Uh-huh. And I didn't think Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go was going to work, and it worked.
It totally does.
It's a fun show. It's a fun show. It's not academic. It's not dreary. Let's get it note for note perfect. Let's have fun with this music. That's the whole point.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's play some of this music. Let's do it on the other side. We've got... it's Great Moments in Vinyl. It's a George Michael show. It's In Search of Something Missing, and is what it's called. And it's going to be at Martyrs. Well, boy, I tell you, that's very few rock and roll clubs in the Western Hemisphere have a reputation like Martyrs.
Absolutely.
I think you can make that argument.
Yeah.
And it's one of those places where you go and you can feel and smell and sense the vibration of all the great acts that have been in that room.
I think that's where the name of the club came from. You know, they martyred themselves for the music. They loved the music so much that they're martyrs for it.
Many of them went. And so Martyrs is at 3855 North Lincoln Avenue in Chicago next Thursday night, right?
Yes.
Is a 8 o'clock showtime for that. Doors at 7 o'clock. And it's just a fun place to go see this. And I don't know how you're going to get everybody up on that stage, but I don't know. Bill's going to figure it out. I don't know how he's going to do it. All right. So on the other side, what do you want to play on the other side? It's a tease. It's a radio tease. Coming up on the other side.
We'll break into the Faith album.
All right. That's what we'll do on the other side. But
classic
first,
radio tease.
See what I did right there? Violetta Powdermedic has got the WGN traffic trouble spots being brought to you by Arkadeck.
Play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com and check it out today.
It's Live Music Friday. And William Lindsay Cochran, that's a very fancy way of introducing himself, has brought his band Great Moments in Vinyl in there. They've got a show coming up at Martyrs next Thursday night. It's a George Michael show, and these are Bill takes you through this whole arc of an artist's career, mm-hmm. and you get to hear the stories, and then you get to hear the songs done by these great Chicago musicians who just nail it. And the thing that really made George Michael the gigantic solo star that he was is an album called Faith, and here is the title track.
push your body. I know not everybody has got a body like you. Oh, but I gotta think twice before I give my heart away. And I know all the games you play, because I play them too. Oh, well, I need some time off from that emotion. Time to pick my heart back off the floor. Oh, well, that love comes down without devotion. Well, it takes a strong man, baby, but I'm showing you the door. Because I gotta have faith. I gotta have faith. Because I gotta have faith, the faith, the faith. I gotta have faith, the faith, the faith. Baby, I know you're asking me to stay. Say please, please, please don't go away. Say you're giving me the blues. Maybe you mean every word you say. I can't help but think of yesterday and another who tied me down. Love a boy blues before this river becomes an ocean. Cut my heart back on the floor. Oh, baby, I'm my foolish notion. Need someone to hold me, but I wait for something more. Cause I gotta have faith. Ooh, I gotta have faith. Cause I gotta have faith, the faith, the faith. I gotta have faith, the faith, the faith. To help it before this river becomes an ocean. Before you throw my heart back on the floor. Oh, baby, I'm reconsidered my foolish notion. Take me one to hold me, but I'll wait for something more. Because I gotta have faith. I gotta have faith. Because I gotta have faith, the faith, the faith.
More with Great Moments in Vinyl coming your way right after. Great Moments in Vinyl is here, and they've got a show coming up in just a less than a week. Next Thursday night at Martyrs on the north side of Chicago at 3855 North Lincoln Avenue. They have been here before.
Yep.
This is a really interesting concept for a band, because what happens here is that William Lindsay Cochran, some people call him Bill, but he's William Lindsay Cochran.
No relation to Steve Cochran.
No. Well, he's
no
a
known.
But he's a radio brother. That's how that goes.
That's
radio
true.
Brethren.
Kind of all related.
I think we're all kind of related, as it turns out. I don't know how we feel about that.
And yet people marry each other in the business.
That's my new caveat. Is it, he's not related to Steve. There's a story behind William Lindsay Cochran.
There is. Would you like? You want to tell it now, or you want to tell it later?
Your call.
Well, you can't just bring it up. So you might as well bring it up. Go ahead.
Go to our website for the full story. No, actually, you know, I worked at WNUA for many years. Mm-hmm. One of your engineers, Bill Malone, knows my career there.
Sure.
And 20 odd years of smooth jazz, and then that went away, and I started hanging out with some musicians in Chicago, and I thought to myself, smooth jazz isn't going to really impress these people. I need to work under a different name. So I went with my middle name, Lindsay Cochran, for a long time.
Yeah.
And then as I got involved with XRT, working there again, and I put the William in front of it and let people puzzle out who I actually was.
Yeah.
Wow.
Your voice kind of sells it, Bill. I hate to
tell
you. It's really kind of hard to run away from it. Because it's one of the more distinctive voices in this market
and
in the last...
And we've heard it for so long. I mean,
you
it's
hear me telling
places.
Stories about the Rolling Stones with this voice? I mean, oh my God.
I know.
There it is.
Can you imagine...
Whatever happened to that XRT? I don't know. What happened to all those stations? Who knows? All right, let's do this. The coming up at the Martyrs show on Thursday night. It's a George Michael show, because what William Lindsay Bill Cochran does is he puts together these bands that do amazing renditions of these songs, and he takes you through the arc of the career of the band.
Tells you the stories, the inspiration, and for the songs, and who they were in life, and how that contributed to the music. I think it's a fascinating concept. I love it.
This is going to be a party show if there's ever been one. Take it away. Thank you.
young boy, didn't know what I wanted to be.
Freedom, you got to give what you take.
Great Moments in Vinyl. George Michael Show coming up on Thursday night at Martyrs on the north side of Chicago. MartyrsLive.com, by the way, is a website for that, or Facebook. And you can always look up Great Moments in Vinyl on Facebook as well. We have got more coming your way. But first, Violetta Powder Medics got the WGN traffic trouble spots. All right. I'm so excited about this show.
God, are they good.
Great Moments in Vinyl. This is the brainchild of William Lindsay Cochran. Don't call him Bill. The longtime radio veteran here in Chicago decided he was going to put bands together to do these. I don't want to call them tribute shows because I think that takes away from what they really are. It's a curated presentation by these musicians who are not trying to sound exactly like the band. They're trying to represent what the music represented. Mm-hmm. I think that's a fair way of saying
fans playing music for fans.
Yeah, there you go.
I like that.
See, he already thought about this, didn't he?
He did. He thinks of a lot of things. Bill.
Yeah, I know.
Figured out.
He's always thinking that, Bill. That's what you're good at, Butch. All right, 3855 North Lincoln Avenue is where Martyrs is. Next Thursday night, 8 o'clock show. It's going to be jamming out the door for that show. So you're going to want to go see them. And again, Martyrs is just one of those classic places. There's just no other place in Chicago quite like it. Why don't you tell us who's in the band?
Yeah, going quickly around the room here, we got Alton Smith, who's doing vocals. Alton's a killer keyboard player. He's done Bruce Springsteen shows with us, REM, Elton John, all sorts of stuff. Debbie Kaczynski, she's played on the Rolling Stones and I'm blanking out Sinead O'Connor and the Indigo Girls and U2. We have Vanessa Vincent, first time with Great Moments in Vinyl.
Oh, nice.
She's one of the people from Old Town School of Folk Music that Aaron Tedesco in the middle recommended. Thought that Vanessa would be great, and she has been.
Boy, the vocals here and the harmony between those two. Have they ever met each other? I don't know. Are they related? You know how like siblings have like perfect harmony? I wonder.
Are you twins?
Have you guys done that DNA testing? Like to check on that.
Erin came to us when we wanted to do a U2 show, so she was our Bono for part of that show. Then did, did some Michael Stipe, did Sinead O'Connor, shaved her head for that.
Wow.
Surprised everyone in the first song. She ripped her hat off.
Surprised Sinead, too.
Exactly.
See what I did there?
And then we had Manny Bansis, who was playing some Latin percussion for us.
Nice.
Couldn't get our drummer tonight and figured where would we put a drummer anyway.
Yeah.
So
no
could
room.
Manny
there you
come
go.
In. He did the Rolling Stone show. He was, songs like Can't You Hear Me Knockin' when you need that conga going.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's do one more right here. What do you got?
One More Try from the Faith album. Goodbye. Goodbye.
So when you say that you need me, that you'll never leave me, I know you're wrong, I'm not that strong. Let me go. Teacher, there are things that I still have to learn, but the one thing I am is my pride. Oh, so I don't want to learn to hold you, turn to you. Cause it ain't no joy for an uptown boy who just isn't willing to try so cold inside. Maybe just one more try.